Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Helen, and this is a Squiggly Careers podcast, where each week Sarah and I come together to share with you some insights and ideas to help you with your squiggly career, to support you in the successes and navigate through the knotty moments. And this week is National Careers Week in the UK, and it has inspired us to have four very different squiggly career conversations to give you a window into someone else's world of work and inspire you about the different directions that your squiggly career can take you in. Our conversations this week include Sarah's discussion with Eric Sim, whose career story is full of resilience and bravery and possibilities and pivots. BBC journalist Simon Mundy, who talked to me about progression and how to create and not wait for career opportunities. Sarah's conversation with Steph Douglas, who's the founder of Don't Buy Her Flowers. We're connected and followed Steph on Instagram for ages, and she talks to Sarah about the realities of running your own business. So some great insights into entrepreneurship there. And today's conversation, which is myself talking to Jim McLeod, a Royal Navy Rear Admiral, who shares some fascinating insights on how to squiggle and stay in an organisation. And I talked to him about his 33-year-long career in the Navy and all the different and diverse things that he's done and what he has learnt about how to develop in different directions in one organisation. So I hope you take a lot out of this conversation. Please do let us know how you found this series, whether you want us to do more squiggly career conversations. You can always email us. We're Helen and Sarah at squigglycareers.com. Jim, welcome to the Squiggly Careers podcast.
Thank you.
I feel like from a dinner at the end of last year, I finally got you into a conversation talking about your career.
Yes, yeah, it's taken a while. We've been busy.
We have been busy, and it might be the last time that you say yes at a dinner again when someone randomly, maybe slightly tipsily, asks you to come on the podcast.
Not at all. I'm delighted to be here, Helen. Thank you.
So the reason that I was so, when we met, I was like, wow, what an amazing career, is because you are a Rear Admiral in the Royal Navy, which is, I don't think I've ever spoken to a Rear Admiral before. So it's a very distinct and impressive career. And when I dived in a bit deeper into what got you there, I became even more fascinated. So it's a 33-year-long career in the Royal Navy that has taken you from at the start transitioning from engineering to working in defence policy, from working on strategy in the Middle East to strategic HR for the whole of the Navy, and then driving improvements in gender diversity to managing the defence relationship with the royal family. I mean, it is a diverse and different and distinct career that has all happened in one place in the Royal Navy.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I'm at the end of my 33-year career now. And if I look back at the 15, 16-year-old boy who was walking down Wellington Street in Leeds going into the Royal Navy Careers Office, and I said to him, this is what you're going to do for the next 33 years, I wouldn't believe myself. And looking back at, you know, what have been some fabulous opportunities and experiences that I've enjoyed within that career. And I was doing a little bit of, you know, looking at some of your work, Helen, after we met at that dinner and very much enjoyed your sort of descriptions of a squiggly career. And absolutely, looking back, I think that's a really nice description for kind of how my career's panned out. And you covered the sort of the range of jobs I've done.
And in terms of that range, in the job that you do now, because I don't think it is one that will feel familiar to the vast majority of people listening to this podcast, me included, what is an average day in the life of a Rear Admiral in the Royal Navy?
Well, I think, I mean, the easy answer is there is no average day, and it depends which Rear Admiral you talk to. But for me, In this final job that I've been in, I have been in strategic HR for the military, for all the Navy, the Air Force and the Army. So I've been responsible for HR policy for around 180,000 service women, servicemen, reserves and regulars, looking at all elements from recruitment, retention, education, resettlement, skills. And how are we looking at the workforce for the future? The technical term is strategic workforce planning, but really looking at, have we got the right skills coming through into the organization to continue to deliver in what I believe is a first-class military and continue to protect the nation's interests? So that's kind of what my overall job is. There is no average day, and that's what makes it sort of fascinating and fun.
And I think one of the reasons that I was so excited was when we spoke is one of the things that Sarah and I are passionate about is helping people to squiggle and stay in an organisation. I think one of the myths that sometimes people have when they think about squiggly careers is that squiggly careers means moving from organisation to organisation and not sticking with one thing. And for some people, squiggly might mean that. It's very extreme. It might mean a career full of constant change that you are creating for yourself by moving around different organisations. And it's not that that is bad, but we don't think that that's the majority of what people's experience of a squiggly career will be. And that actually, when we think about squiggly careers as how can I squiggle within the organisation that I'm in, you can often create a lot more opportunity because you've got those relationships and you've got that knowledge and you can stretch some of those skills that you've got in the different directions in quite a safe way. And so I wanted to get a bit of insight from your experience on what has helped you to squiggle and stay within the Royal Navy.
I think a number of things. One is it's a relatively large organisation, so there are lots of opportunities. I think we are an organisation that values our people, and therefore we invest in our people, and we see it's important to give people opportunities to broaden because they'll continue learning and developing themselves and bringing those skills back. And as a leader, I think that's really important within my own area. I was responsible as director for strategic HR, and I had a relatively large team. And I always encouraged people to promote out or move out into other areas of defence because they would broaden, they would learn more. And then if they'd enjoyed working with me and the team they were in, they would come back with that experience. So from an organisational perspective, squiggly careers are a really good investment in your staff. It helps them develop and bring those skills to bear. From an individual perspective, I found that what squiggly careers have allowed me to do is to expand my skills and the things that I enjoy doing, continue to do them in different environments and continue to stay challenged. And I always reflect on the story of challenge and the video games analogy. And we've all played these little video games on our phones and these apps. And if it's too easy, you stop doing it, you get bored. If it's too hard, you know, you stop doing it. But if it's just challenging, just enough, you keep doing it forever and ever and ever. And I think, you know, if you can get a career that's continually challenging you, you move on the step, you learn and you think, oh my God, I didn't think I'd ever be able to do that. Look, I'm now doing it really well. I think that's so rewarding and so motivating. And organisations that can tap into that motivation of individuals, I think will continue to develop the best people to work with them.
And in terms of the opportunities that you've had, how many of those opportunities have presented themselves to you? So someone's gone, oh, here's a great move for you in this new area. And how many of you proactively gone out and explored and found for yourself?
So I've always had this view that if you chase a particular job, you're likely to end up disappointed. Because if you're chasing a particular point in time, you'll have a view of what that point in time is going to be like, and it might quite not be what you want, or you might not do it. I've always had this view that I know what I enjoy doing, and therefore I try to find roles and jobs that are going to allow me to do things I enjoy. For me, I enjoy working with people. Early on in my career, I enjoyed working with technology and engineering, and I enjoyed making a difference and challenging. And so what I did whenever I was talking to my career managers or looking at roles in the future, I looked at the types of things which would challenge me, the types of things that would play to my strengths. And then made it clear that those were the sorts of things I wanted to do. And the Navy and the military has been very good and given me lots of different opportunities. But I very much, I think, made my own luck in explaining to people the things that I enjoy doing are, you know, as I discussed with you. The other thing that I found really important was having those conversations with my mentors. And I can't stress enough the importance of chatting with people who've been through the system and mentorship, because they really helped me to understand, you know, what I could do in the future. There's no way you would have seen a 28-year-old Lieutenant McLeod who just left a warship and say to him, you know, you'll be responsible for Middle East defense policy during the Arab Spring. There's no way I would ever have believed that. I would have thought, you know, I couldn't do that. No way can I do that. But what people did and that I worked for, they continually stretched me and said, you know, have you thought about the following? Here are some opportunities. We think you'd be good at this. So I sort of went along and, you know, moved into new jobs with that complete trepidation of, oh my God, I'm going to get found out. I don't know what's happening. You know, I've just left this really comfortable space where everybody trusts me and I've just moved into something new. Oh my God, I'm going to get found out. And what I learned in my career was just about everybody feels like that. And actually everybody just pretends they don't. Which reminds me of my free rules. I got to tell you about my free rules in a minute. And what I learned as I went through my career was actually, this is normal to feel like this. And I, even to the point now when people join and work for me, I say to them, look, if after 3 months you still don't really feel, don't worry about it. If after 6 months you still feel like that, maybe we've got a problem and you know we might need to look at it. But feeling like you're out of your depth at the start is par for course, and you will very quickly get your feet, move forward, and then you'll look back and you'll think, oh my God, look what I've done. Look what I've achieved. And I mentioned my free rules because I think these are really important. And I learned these as an engineer. And my free rules are, if something's broken, what was the last thing you did to it? Because that's probably what broke it. And that applies to not just engineering, but any social systems and things like that. My second rule is, if I can't explain something to somebody in 3 minutes so they understand it, I don't understand it well enough. And that includes explaining why we need to do things, why things are happening. And that rule's worked really well for me. And my third rule, and probably the most important, is nobody really knows what's going on all the time. So just sound confident and crack on. And it works wonders. So, you know, I learned those as an engineer and they've worked wonders for me throughout my career.
It's a bit like a career masterclass in our squiggly skills. So we have the five skills that we think are most helpful for most people to succeed in a squiggly career, like whatever success means to people. And the first two are values and strengths. So when you said, you know, when you were talking about, you know, moving around in your career and you said, you know, I had a clarity on what I enjoyed and what I was good at, that's values and strengths. The next one is all around confidence. So I'd love to come back to that a little bit, kind of the fact that you recognized you had imposter syndrome, or what we call a confidence gremlin, and you found a way to cage it so it didn't hold you back. And I'd love to come back to that because I think it prevents people from doing some squiggly moves. Then you talked about the mentors, and our sort of fourth squiggly skill is around network, making sure you have the community that you need around your career. And then we talk about future and future possibilities and being open to the directions that you could develop in. And I feel like your career is such a great description of how all those things have come to bear to take you to where you are now and give you all of that diverse experience along the way.
Maybe I could write a book on it, only I think someone's already closed the market on me.
Jim's view on the squiggly career. I like it. You can do it. You can definitely do that. It could be a compendium to the squiggly career. Let's talk about confidence, because imposter syndrome, you mentioned it, that it, you know, it came up with almost every move. And I think for a lot of people, it would prevent them taking the action because they would say, this is too challenging, or I can't do this because I've not done it before. And it sounds like you've acknowledged that you had that fear, but you were able to move through it and also help other people with it. Is there anything practically, other than just fight the fear and do it anyway, is there anything that's practically helped you to move forward when you might have that imposter syndrome in your career?
Yeah, I think there is. I think that there are, you know, I still get it. I manage it much, much better now. But what I do is I think about times in my career when I've been successful, particularly times when I've been acknowledged as successful by other people, and at times when I was surprised or pleased by that. And I recall, and I think, oh, I can remember that. I can even remember the feeling, how it felt when somebody recognized I'd done well. And I refer back to that in my head. I think you've been here before, you've done this, and it went well. So I kind of have those moments in my career. Clearly, people at the start of their career, you know, whenever you look back in life, there are things when you think, oh my God, I did that. And just focusing back on, oh my God, I did that. You can tell by the emotion in my voice, you know, it's an emotional response. It's not an analytical response. So that's really important to me. The other thing that I found is, and I do this in meetings, you know, I walk out of a meeting and I overanalyze myself and I think, oh my God, I said something really stupid there. And rather than ruminating it and going over and over in my head, I think, well, I probably said 10 things and I probably said 6 things that were average. And I probably said a few things that people went, well, that's really good. And I probably said 1 or 2 things that people thought, you know, perhaps wasn't quite right. But on balance, I'll have walked out of there saying more good than not. So I will have added value and other people will have discounted the things I said that I thought were bad. So I kind of back myself in that I wouldn't be where I am if I didn't generally make the right decisions. So I have the confidence that I'll probably do the right thing. The other thing that I think is really important is we rarely ever make a decision that's 180 degrees wrong. And the worst thing we can do is not make decisions. So I think, you know, making a decision, but then being prepared to go, you know what, I didn't get that quite right. And having that ability, that humility, particularly the leader, but having that humility to go, oh, I could have done that a bit better. But we're still moving the right way. I'll correct what we're doing and move forward. So I think my 3 tools are, remember I've been here before and I succeeded. Remember that I wouldn't be here if I didn't generally make the right decisions. So, you know, it'll be fine. And then on the third piece, I just trust in myself and I'm prepared to say that wasn't quite right. And therefore people judge me as being Jim and human and fallible, and therefore I haven't set up a false pretense that I'm going to be right all the time. They feel much more empowered, and as an organization or as a team, we can move forward. So I think those are probably my 3 tips for how I dealt with that confidence gremlin.
We often talk about vision boards, you know, when you're thinking about where you want to go in the future, but you can't quite, you know, get specific about it, create a vision board and it will kind of give you that sense of direction. But in our new book, You Coach You, we have a chapter on self-belief. And in there, there's an exercise around creating a pride postcard. So basically like writing to yourself about something that you have done well and bringing in all of that richness, because, you know, when you said, oh, you can hear it in my voice, and remembering who you're working with and what you were doing and how it felt like, to sort of ground yourself in that moment rather than let your gremlin stop you from moving forward. I think it's really a powerful exercise to do.
I think so. And I think also I had some very good advice from somebody 2 decades ago now, that, you know, when that little gremlin, and I always have an image of it sat on my shoulder, going, Jim, you're an idiot. Jim, you're an idiot. You can't do that. And what this individual told me really wisely was to, in my head, take the time to say, thank you, you know, Mr. Gremlin. I acknowledge your point, but I'm quite happy with where I'm going. But to consciously think that through. Mm. And so that I've sort of acknowledged it, but moved on. And I don't kind of ignore it. Because I think if you ignore it, it's always there. I'd much rather sort of, And I almost sort of turn my head and say, you know, thanks very much for pointing this out. And I acknowledge your point, but, you know, I'm quite comfortable. Thank you. And I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I find that
it isn't just
works.
You. Susan Cain has written a brilliant book on emotional agility, and she talks about using your doubts as data. And you can't do that unless you acknowledge them. Like, what is this voice and what's it saying? Where's it coming from? And you kind of have to learn to listen to it. Not learn to let it lead you, but learn to listen to it. And I think it is a skill, but I think some people you get a bit in denial about it, or defensive, or you try to just ignore it, but then it's still sat there and not doing anything with it. So no, definitely not just you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
One of the other things that I see holding people's squiggly career opportunities back when they're in an organisation, so it kind of limits their opportunities to squiggle and stay, is when they default to thinking that progression must be promotion. So I've got this filter in my mind that the only good way to progress is to get promoted. I can't see a promotion in this organisation, therefore I have to leave. What has your experience been in terms of your progression? Has every move been upwards, or have they been in different directions? Because quite hierarchical, I imagine, the Navy.
Yeah, I mean, the military is very hierarchical for good reasons. No, I'd love to say I got promoted out of every rank at the earliest opportunity and have never spent more than one job in every rank, but that's not the case.
And would you love to say that? Or actually, do you think your career wouldn't have been as rich?
I tell people who are off to command warships, you do that in your sort of 30s, or command, people in the army commanding their regiments or their squadrons and wings in the Air Force. And I tell them to enjoy it. Don't rush through this part of your career where you're working really closely with the service women and the service men who are out there, because our people are absolutely amazing. And whenever I'm in senior leadership now, and I spend a lot of time in the Ministry of Defence, but I make sure that I get out and meet our people, because they are awesome and they do the most incredible things, and often in difficult conditions. You can always catch up later on, but you will never be able to replace that experience. And I think that plays to your point on squiggly careers. I think we attach too much to promotion. And for some people, that's probably how they are. For me, I attach my value system to, am I doing a good job? How do I know I'm doing a good job? Because people are telling me, it's my kryptonite, but also, one of my strengths. So I care about what people think. And to move from one job to another that's not promotion offers opportunities to do something different, to do something new, to learn skills that you might need later on. And I think that's, for squiggly careers, I think that's really important. Getting that breadth of skills across a range of different areas. For me, I jumped from engineering technical support, across into some high consequence, low frequency safety stuff, pretty core engineering. I then found myself working in defense policy, looking at what capability do we need for the future, doing scenario modeling, and then moved across from there, ended up working with the Army in Iraq with the Americans in Baghdad, from there back to sea, and then out into sort of a Middle East policy job, all of which relied on the core skills of that I brought to the party, which was I like to understand why we're doing things, what's the problem we're trying to fix. So all of those were building on my core skill set, but they were using them in different ways. So you can't get much further apart than Middle East politics and high consequence safety cases. I mean, they're like apples and seesaws. But the skill sets I used was that questioning of what's the problem we're trying to fix? What are the views of everybody around there? What's stopping us from getting there? But one of the things that I really learned was everyone will tell you why things can't happen. But if you flip that and say, okay, tell me what I need to do to make it happen, and you shift an organization's thinking and culture. So the skills that I learned as an engineer are my three rules. What broke it? Why is it not working? Can you explain it to me? And, sound confident. And my sort of skills that I'd learned in my early part of my career applied just as well in all those different jobs. And what they did was gave me a huge amount of breadth that I could then use later on. So now I'm sort of director level, rear admiral. I use a skill that I picked up by working with Middle Eastern countries and some of the amazing things they taught me, working with a health and safety executive, working with people on ships from all these different jobs. But they all reinforced the core skill set that is Jim McLeod and made me who I am. So if I'd have stayed in engineering, bounced through the system, I don't know if I would have even got to be a Rear Admiral. I might have ceilinged out somewhere because I just couldn't apply my skills to the breadth of challenges that you get at more senior positions. I've probably gone off complete piece there.
No, not at all. I think that for us, it's all about that transferability of your talents rather than thinking how you transfer one title to another, because that gets much more limited. It does make me think, though, that I think one of the things that gets in the way of making some of those braver, more different moves, other than confidence, which you touched on, is maybe a bit of ego. Like, oh, but is a sideways move a successful move? And also maybe a little bit of fear, like comparison. But my peers seem to be getting promoted or moving faster forward in their career than I am. So how have you unhooked yourself from the ego getting in your way, or that kind of fear of missing out or being slower, that kind of career comparison holding you back?
And I think that's a really fair question, Helen, because it's very easy, and I could critique myself to say, you would say that, wouldn't you, Jim, because you've got to be a Rear Admiral. And I think we do tend to view ourselves on, you know, how we're doing relative to our peers and that promotion. I think that's false, and I think we overplay that, because when I look back, I don't look at the points in time when I was promoted. I look at the roles that I did and the impact that I had. So I don't review my career through a lens of promotion and advancement. I view it through, actually, I feel like I did a really good job there. I feel like I made a real impact, that things are better because I did that job, regardless of what the rank was. But you're right, I think it is hard. And I say this to people in the military, there's not a rush to the top. People will get to the point that they're going to get to. I've met people who've been promoted a bit later, but they are better for it.
Progression pressure, I think, means that people start to compete and make decisions that aren't necessarily the right decisions for them. Whereas when you take the time to get the insight that you've talked about, like, you know, your three rules. Imagine if everybody had their three rules. Imagine if everybody had like that clarity that you talked about this is what I do well. Let's think about how I can apply it. And then explored and got curious about their career, about where it could take them to. And that might not mean there's an opportunity today, but when that opportunity is there, it's much more likely to be a role that you're going to enjoy and have an impact in. And that's what then creates the next one. So I think it's a really important thing. It's not always instant, but it's better because of it.
No, I think you're right. And I think one of the things I missed saying is, do jobs that you think you're going to enjoy, because if you enjoy, you'll do well in it. And if you do well in it, you'll enjoy it. But you'll also get noticed, and you move through the system. I counsel people all the time and come and tell me that I want to do that job. You don't, because we started with that, it might not be the right thing for you. What is it you're good at? What is it you enjoy? Back it. Go and do more of that. You'll do well, and if you do well, you'll progress, because opportunities will open for you that you haven't seen before. Whereas if you're tied to this linear, your brain won't see these opportunities. People won't see you for the breadth that you bring. So you self-limit if you do that.
We talk about how your strengths can become self-fulfilling in a squiggly career. Like, if you work out what gives you energy and what you want to be known for, show up with that as much as possible, and people will match you to more things that need that thing that you want to be known for. And you get into this very positive squiggly cycle in your career.
I couldn't agree more. And it's that, understand where your strengths are and your areas where you're not as strong. Make sure your areas where you're not as strong aren't going to hold you back, but then don't invest too much time in them, because you're not strong in them. You probably don't enjoy them. You're going to hate investing time in them. Just make sure they don't hold you back. Put all that energy into things that you really like, because you'll massively increase your potential. And as you said, people will recognize that, and people will then match you and open, you know, opportunities for you that you never even thought. And, you know, there's no way. I mean, the Middle East job I keep referring to, I'd worked for another individual in a job before, and he'd seen what I brought and thought, actually, you know, Jim might be quite good in this job. It's not where we would normally put someone with his skill set, but I've seen how he operates. So he brought me in, and it was great. But that was about things that I'd done 5 years before had an impact in the future. And I think that's one of the things I've learned in my career is things I did 10, 15 years ago, the way I was 10, 15 years ago, still ripples through today. And things that I did, relationships I built, you know, reputations that I've built, still sort of ripple on. And I love that phrase, you know, you are the story people tell about you. And that's really important to me. I know who I want to be. I know I'm probably not that person. but I do want the stories that people tell about me for me to look at them and think, actually, I'd be quite happy for my children to hear those stories. You know, daddy did all right. So my career, my squiggly career has been, it's been a squiggly career. It's not been a series of lines that are linear. It's not been a series of steps that are not related. It's been a journey through these amazing experiences working in what I think is the best military in the world with some of the best people that you could hope to work with and doing things that matter.
So as a final piece of advice to someone that's listening now, I'm imagining someone might be listening and going, wow, what a fascinating career and done some amazing things. And that's really inspirational. But I work in an organisation. I want to move around and I want to develop in different directions, but it seems a bit siloed. I'm not sure, where do I get started? Do I go build some relationships? Do I go reflect on my strengths? What would you say to that person who's listening now, inspired by your story, but thinking, where do I get started in my organisation?
I can only reflect on my experience. And a couple of things that would jump to mind were, we talked about it, back your strengths and trust yourself. And, you know, one of the things I say to people that work for me is, when you're in meetings or when you're doing things, imagine you're one or two ranks higher, and what would you then do? And do it. You know, I'm not going to give you the pay for that rank.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
But do it. You're unlikely to do anything badly wrong, and you might do something that's really clever that no one thought about. So some of that is about backing yourself. You don't self-limit. And I can't stress the importance enough of mentoring and spending some time just to find people in the organization who think like you and who you can talk to, because they may have opportunities that you're completely unaware of. And when they get to know you and they go, oh yeah, I was chatting with Jim, he's got some wacky ideas about that, maybe I'll stick him in front of the X, see what he's got to say. And all of a sudden the door opens that you never thought was going to open, and somebody says, we've got this really, you know, project that we need to run, you know, Jim, can you have a go at it? I think those would be the two things, you know, back yourself and spend some time talking to people.
I'm a big fan of alliteration because I think it sticks. So my three S's from that are make sure your strengths stand out, don't self-limit, and then get the support that you need. That is my what I'm going to take away from those bits of advice. So thank you very much for that. And thank you very much for coming on the podcast. I was thinking, what is the story that I will tell about Jim McLeod to that last question that you answered? What will I tell to people from my conversation with you? And I will say someone who is wise, humble, supportive, and inspiring. So I don't know if they're the stories that you want to hear about yourself, but they're the ones that I will be sharing on your behalf.
Oh, that's really kind. I'm really touched by that. Thank you very much, Helen.
Well, thank you very much, and good luck with all that's going to happen next and now in your squiggly career as well.
Yes, I've got a big squiggle coming up as I look to where do I go next after my career in the military.
Big question, brilliant question. Can't wait to see. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Helen. Speak to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If you are inspired to explore how you could develop in different directions, have a look at the Government's Skills for Life website, where there are loads of free courses and learning. The link to get there is just gov.uk/skills-for-life, and we'll put it in the show notes as well. There's so much there, whether you want to learn more about the basics of coding or about green skills or tech, there's so much there. They're all run by experts in each area, and lots of them are remote courses too, so you can do them when it works for you, which is sort of better for everyone with learning, isn't it? But thank you very much for listening today. And if you would like to get in touch, you've got any feedback, it's just helenandsarah@squigglycareers.com. And we always appreciate rating, reviewing, subscribing the podcast, because it helps us to help more people with their squiggly career.